So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you tonight about a God consciousness. A God consciousness. We have a sin consciousness, but we need to have a God consciousness. Before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, what they had was a God consciousness, not a sin consciousness. And when you have a God consciousness, that's when you just think about God and not about the sin or the things. You know, they teach you in driving and in motorcycle school to don't look exactly what you're trying to avoid because it makes you veer toward it. Look where you want to go instead of exactly where you are. I'm going to use one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to give you a few points out of this verse, found in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verse number 10. What version am I reading out of, Emilio? New King James Version, is that what I'm saying? Okay. I didn't have it in my notes. It says, "Be still." In this Christmas time, it says, "Be still." Here's what I feel like I was supposed to tell the church tonight. Man, what is it? 7 days? 10 days? Where are we at? It's only 14 days till Christmas. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Father, bless the reading of your word, and may it be food to sustain us in Jesus' name. Thank you, musicians. Do you find, and don't go too far. Don't go out and have a hamburger. Stay close. Do you find yourself in one of the following scenarios? It's time to go to church, so on the way you start thinking and getting your mind ready to worship. You'll start asking the questions. Or at least I do. I do because I'm responsible. But how about do you? What song set are they going to do tonight? Who's going to lead what song? I know some of you call and ask, "Who's preaching?" And if you don't find out when you get here based on how you feel, you stay or not. You made a commitment to the Lord the last time you were at church, and on your way to service, you start thinking about what that commitment and how you've not kept it. Are you trying to pull yourself into a frame of mind that tonight I'm going to get mine? I'm going to get blessed. I'm coming to the house of God to get mine. And there's not... That's not wrong, but if that's your input every time the service comes around, then you're living a compartmentalized Christianity. Or maybe you have responsibilities, but you have not thought about them since the last time you left the service. I'm glad, or I hope you're glad, that, you know, Pastor Mike and I got in my truck tonight to come over to the service, and he goes, "What you preaching tonight?" And I jokingly said, "Have no idea." He said, "Are you kidding?" I go, "No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding, yes." Wouldn't it be horrible if I just got up here and said, "Well, whatever the Lord," and let's go? Wouldn't it be horrible? What are we going to sing tonight? I don't know. We'll just wing it. Wouldn't it be horrible? However, That's what sometimes we do. And this type of living is so far below what God has called you to live at. This kind of living is compartmentalized version of Christianity. And it is giving God a slice of your life instead of giving Him your whole life. It's giving Him a slice of your life instead of giving Him the whole of your life. And God wants it all. Because if you will give it all to God, He'll give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So what do we do about it, though, Pastor? The Scripture holds the key when it says, be still. Now, being still, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but being still doesn't mean to quit what you're doing. Doesn't mean just to sit there like a bump on a pickle. Moving deeper in our relationship with God requires, and I'm going to use some ugly words, but I'm sorry. It requires some discipline. It requires some alertness. Boy, here is a four-letter Christian word. Sacrifice. It requires this to have the life that God said. Wait a minute, though. When I got saved, the preacher said it was free. Salvation is free. Living the God kind of life that God wants you to have, you have to work at it. Amen? So let's identify some hindrances to doing this, and at the same time, we'll look at, find that place of knowing that He is God. First of all, let me say this. Hindrances to a God consciousness. Number one is this. Hindrances to a God consciousness. Hindrances to a God consciousness, point number one, is this. Rush without rest. We're in the Christmas season. I looked at my calendar, and I'm not doing too good. Almost every time I get sick, I have somebody in my household who comes and says, now, Ronnie, you've been burning the candle at both ends. You know you should rest. And you know you shouldn't do that. When's the last time you had a day off? When's the last time you just took time for you? Huh, Ronnie? And that's not my wife that says that. That's my daughter that says that. And then so she's been a little sickly. So I turned the tables on her last night. Got in at 11 o'clock when she got to get up at 6. But anyway, you know, she's grown. But notice the psalmist said we are to be still. And there are those who are just too busy for God. Wait a minute, preacher. Did you say that right? Yeah. There are some people who are too busy for God. Well, I've been looking for that word all year, Pastor. Most, 95% of the Christians are not in that category. But there's 5 or 10, maybe 20% that are in that category. That we're so busy for God that we forget about God. So how do I remedy this? You know, you don't burn out. Pastor, you know, well, bless God, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, I don't want to burn out or rust out. I want to finish out. I want to finish what God's called me to do. And I want to finish what God's called Crystal River to do, Crystal River Church of God. So this is, and what this is about with this rush without rest, listen to me, every minister, every volunteer, I want you to hear me, this is giving without receiving or without taking in. This is giving out without taking anything in. If all you do is give, and there's nothing that you receive, then you're going to start operating from a position of depletion. You see, when you do that, you can't enjoy ministering to the Lord because you began ministering for the Lord. Am I making sense to anybody? Busyness can lead to barrenness. Well, I'm so busy. But you're so busy, but what, you know, if I as the pastor, if we did everything that everybody that's come to our church thought we should do, we would be stretched so thin that we wouldn't do anything well. So that's why we have to say no to some things. But you have to say no to some good things in order to say yes to some God things. That's good preaching, whether you know it or not. Busyness can lead to barrenness. Now let me give you some steps in order to slow down. Now this is, I'm hoping I'm going to get done with this. But if I don't, it's all right. I know who's preaching next Wednesday, so I'm okay. So let me give you some steps to how to slow down. I want you to hear me. And I might get to, I got 4 points, but I may just get to one. I don't know. It's all right. Everybody okay? All right. Let me give you these anyway. Number one, that's what we tried to do today, tonight. Learn to soak in His presence. Learn to soak in His presence, man. Pastor, how do I do that? You get into a room like this, and you begin to worship, and you forget about the time schedule. You forget about who's around you. You forget. You don't have to be in the house of God to do that. Matter of fact, if the house of God is the only place you do that, then you're not doing it correctly. The house of God should be one of those places that you do that, but it shouldn't be the only place that you do that. You soak in the presence of God. But Pastor, this is the only place where I sense His presence. Well, that's your fault, and that's what the devil's trying to tell you. I've made my home, I've made my office, I've made my car a place where the presence of God can come in at any moment, at any time, because He is welcome wherever I am. So when is the last time that you just put your soul in park and soaked up the presence of God? If you're like me, I'm always thinking about what else I got to do. And if you're a pastor, you're thinking about the next sermon. They come around. Sunday comes every other day. And the other day is Wednesday. So it feels like I'm in a perpetual sermon prep scenario writing sermons. And so, at times I just have to quit and soak in the presence of God. Yesterday, I shut my door, and even this morning, I had my door shut because it took me, not trying to say, oh, I'm so spiritual. No, it took me about 6 hours to pray over everybody's requests and the people that came to know Christ on our Sunday. I still haven't counted everybody who came to Christ in the 11 o'clock service because I got completely through with the 8:30 service, and we had 8 to receive Christ for the first time in the 8:30 service. Come on, give God praise. I haven't even finished counting the 11 o'clock service yet, but I prayed over them today. But even today, that there were people who, and I didn't know it until afterwards, good job, secretaries, but people who wanted to talk to me. And if I would have let them in, it would have took away from my soaking time with God and preparing for tonight. Are they important? Yes, everybody is important. But you've got to, if you don't spend time with God, then you're no good for anybody else. If you want to be a better wife or a better husband, if you'll spend some time with God, He'll teach you how to be a better husband and a better, but you've got to do it. Because when you soak in the presence of God, He makes you pliable. You quit being so hard and so inconsistent. It makes you pliable. So soak in the presence of God. Put on a good worship CD and just bask in the presence. If you're a musician, if that's the way that you minister, that's the way that you get it, do it, man. That's why I have a keyboard in my office. Busyness can lead to barrenness. Learn to drown out the world by diving into His presence. Have you ever, I had a pretty rough day the other day, and I don't remember what day it was, but, you know, I take a shower to get clean. I take a bath to get close to God. And I just, and you know, at some point in time, I just went all the way up under the water in that bathtub. And everything around me, the waters clogged, you know, came around my ears, and everything else just kind of went away. That's what I'm talking about, diving into the presence of God. When you dive into the presence of God, man, everything else just kind of shuts out and shuts down. Well, Pastor, instead of going out and getting drunk, or instead of going out and getting high, or instead of going out and doing whatever it is that you feel to numb yourself, get into the presence of God, because when you come out of it, the presence of God has touched you and you're a better person because of it. You don't have the ramifications of what you did because you went the other route. So one, learn to soak in the presence of God. Number two, stay in constant communion with Him. Well, now, Pastor, that is impossible. No, it's not. It is not. Why? Every time you stop at a red light, you can pray as you're driving, just don't get caught up. And don't be telling the law, I told Jesus to take a wheel, but He didn't. But you can stay in that presence of communion with God. You know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, Larry Lee wrote a book that became a number one bestseller, that Can You Not Tarry for 1 Hour? No, I can't. I answered that. No, I really can't. I tried. I did it a couple of times, but boy, was it work. And then here's what I come across. Dr. Paul Walker said these words and changed my life, because I'm thinking, I'm not a real good pastor. I'm not even a good Christian. I can't pray. I can't pray for 1 hour. But here's what he said. He said, I rarely pray more than 15 minutes, but I rarely go 15 minutes without praying. So I said, no, that I can do. That I can do. See, when I spent that time, when I spent 3 hours yesterday and a couple hours this morning, you know what I did? I had on music in my office, and I would walk around and I would worship, and then I would pray, and I would worship, then I would pray. I bask in the presence of God. You understand what I'm trying to get to? We've got to get to a place where we commune with God. I remember Pastor, just because you work at the church and you can... No, I haven't always worked at the church. I know what it is to have to just to go to the bathroom in order to just to say some prayers. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to ask you for strength, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money. God, just help me, Jesus. Come on, somebody. But I've gone to the bathroom and said, God, I just need you to touch me. Lord, I just need a little bit of help right now. God, if you would just, I just need your presence. And I come out of the bathroom a different man because of the presence of God. Do whatever you got to do. You see, learn to pray all throughout the day, at red lights, in the elevator, at your desk, etc. What you do not want to do, listen to me, you Pentecostals. What you do not want to do is be speaking in tongues on the job site with your supervisor and get mad when they call you out. Well, don't you want me praying? No, I don't. No, don't be an idiot. Bump your neighbor and say, he's talking about your mama right now. Dave, I saw that. That was kind of good. That was pretty good. I forgot about that. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know somebody who the supervisor was getting on to him, and he started speaking in tongues. And the supervisor said, shut that crap up. He said, Pastor, can you believe he said that? I can't believe the Holy Ghost didn't strike him dead. I said, I wish the Holy Ghost would have slapped you down. So when I talk about pray without ceasing, use some common sense. God is not the author of confusion. But pray without ceasing. Number three, filter your conversation through the Spirit. Through your Spirit. Filter your conversation. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? That means, let me give you the King James Version. That means closeth thou moutheth. Close your pie hole. Understand that filter your conversation. This takes, here comes another dirty word, discipline, but allow the Holy Spirit to trump any talk. I'm not talking, don't get political. To trump any talk that you should not engage in. There are sometimes, just walk away. Walk away. Pastor, but they talking about the boss, and I don't need to talk about the boss. You didn't talk about it when you signed the back of your check. Let me move on because y'all ain't getting that one. Number four is this. Make your mind you. Make your mind you. Well, Pastor, how can I do that? Bring every thought into the captivity of Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to these. Be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the word of God. That's how we do it, guys. Your spirit man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to make the decisions for you. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, so don't raise your hand. But how many of you have spent any time about fasting and praying for your loved ones? The ones you've been praying for. Well, I thought that's what Bobby did. I thought that's what Sharon did. I thought that's what them prayer warriors did. No, that's what we do. Because can I tell you, if you're going to make your mind, then you're going to have to discipline your flesh by the Spirit of God. Listen, I wish, and I've said this before, I have to force myself to read the Bible. Pastor, I just love the Word of God. I do too. But I still have to force myself to read because I am slow. I'm a slow reader. But I force myself. Why? Because I want my body to not be in charge of my spirit. But I've got to allow my spirit to be in charge of my body. And the only way that's going to happen is who do I feed the most? That's good preaching, Pastor. Let the Holy Spirit determine the direction of your thoughts. Now, please hear me. I think you know me well enough right now. I'm not talking about walking around being so spiritual that you're weird. There's enough Christian weirdos. We don't have to add to that. If you're going to add to that, I've got another shirt that I need to give you. No, I don't want you to leave our church. I just want you to advertise for another church. Because we... This is one of the major ways we're led by the Holy Spirit. Is how the Holy Spirit directs our conversation and directs our thoughts. And we've got to get our mind in line with the Holy Spirit. What an incredible asset. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So why wouldn't we let Him direct our thoughts? Be still and know that I am God. This God consciousness, and I'm gonna wind her up here. This God consciousness allows you to hear from God in the middle of chaos. This God consciousness causes you to remember what's the main thing. This God consciousness causes you and I to remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. You know, I've shared this before, and I'm not trying to take credit for Sherry's family's salvation, but Sherry served the Lord since she was 15 years old, and her parents would punish her by not letting her go to church. Now listen, parents, if you do that to your child, don't do that. Amen. There's other ways you can punish them, but good gracious, if they want to be in the house of God, if they have to sit with you, whatever, but bring them to the house of God. Don't let them go to the concert. Don't let them go to the dance. Don't let them go to the football game, the baseball game, whatever. But don't keep them out of the house of God because you're punishing them. But my wife grew up in that atmosphere. Her mom and dad, they, you know, her dad said that he was Catholic, but really they were just heathen. They just wasn't nothing. And so when Christmas came around, the way that they would do it, we'd get up and go, well, let's see what Santa brought us. And he'd say, well, let's open presents. And my first Christmas there as a family member, I said, Pop. Now I could have went, I'm not this pagan. We bless God. And, you know, I just said, Pops, do you mind if I pray over the family? Well, Ronnie, I think that would be a great idea. And so that's where we started. Sherry had put the seed there all the time, but that's where it started. I'm thankful to say that everybody but her brother has come to know Christ, and we're believing for her brother. Amen. Amen? We're believing for that. But it's because of a God consciousness that we don't just, I mean, if you don't tell your children why we give gifts, if you don't tell your children, if you don't slow down and appreciate this time, and make them appreciate this time, then it's not gonna work. By practicing these simple steps, guys, you will begin to hear the still voice. When the wind is howling around you, you will still be able to hear God's voice. Have you ever told your friend or told your spouse, your child, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me this, whatever happened or whatever the place is? And they replied, because you never stopped and asked. Let's slow down. Let's get this God consciousness. I believe the Holy Spirit would speak to us much more often if we stopped and gave Him an opportunity. Now listen, some people have misunderstood and misquoted me. I have said this, and I stand by it. God doesn't speak to me as much as He does some people, but He don't lie to me as much as He does some people. Now, I stand by that. But that's not to say that God doesn't speak to His people. And I know there are times that God speaks to me. And the more that I slow down and have a God consciousness, the more that I will hear His voice. You know, it's one thing, especially us men. Women, you women can watch TV, listen to a radio station, have a conversation, knit or sew or do a crossword puzzle or read on Facebook or Pinterest, and you get it all. Us men, we ain't like that way. We need to pause. Not too long ago, it took me 3 hours to watch a 30-minute show. I got to pause it or go back. I don't remember what they said. Let me go back. And then my wife would go, well, here's what they said. I go, you don't know that. Okay, that's what they said. But that's the way it is with God, man. We're so busy. God, just speak to me as I go. Speak to me as I do my things. God, speak to me. No. Isn't it wonderful, ladies, when your husband stops and looks at you? That's the loudest amen I got out of my wife all night. And that's why I pause the TV so I can look at you and not miss anything. But you understand? But when we do that, it's the same thing with God. When we go, God, here I am. Not, catch me outside, how about that? No, not. You just now got it, Sarah? Okay. So, not God, catch me as I go. But when we go, just God, here I am. I mean, if you're so busy that you've got to schedule it, do what you need to do to schedule it. If you got to put it on your calendar, that's what you do. Because I promise you, If you will make an appointment with God, God will meet you. Pastor, how can you be so sure? Because I know my God. I know my God. We've got to learn to slow down and listen. And I fear that often we're so busy at church, we're so busy doing church that we can't be the church. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand with me tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.